Good morning. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 1. Last week we embarked on a challenging journey studying through the book of Proverbs on Sunday mornings. Let's pray that the Lord would bless. Oh, Lord, we do love you. We love you so much. We're so grateful for all that you've done for us. And it is, in fact, because you first loved us that we can love you back. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to you. As your people here this morning, we're so grateful to belong to your family. We are so grateful to be able to call you Dad. Oh, how I would pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't have that kind of relationship with you. I ask, Lord, if anyone here this morning hasn't become your child, that would take place. You're a great Heavenly Father. Now I pray that you would instruct us from your very word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was at New Mexico State University studying to get my degree in electrical engineering, there was a class that we all had to take that struck fear in the hearts of all the students there. I still remember it. Double E 200, Circuit Analysis 1, Professor Pollard. Everybody was scared to death of that class. That class was intimidating. People failed that class. That was a class that caused many people to actually change their major. And I will tell you, that was the most difficult course that I took. It was intimidating. It was scary. And by the grace of God, I was able to get through it. And I was able to get through it the first time. But you should have seen how terrified people were and how intimidating of the book and the information. Well, there's no need for intimidation like that when it comes to the book of Proverbs. Understand this morning that Proverbs is a friendly book. Proverbs is a book that is on your side. Proverbs is a book that wants you to understand it and wants you to succeed. Remember last time we learned that Proverbs is basically the book of wisdom. God gave us this book. This book is in the Bible specifically to teach each one of us how to live life skillfully. How to make the very most of this life. How to live large. Live life to maximum potential. And the information that you find in this book isn't high, lofty language, pie in the sky. It gets very specific. It touches on every single area that a person might face in practical, everyday life. It's an awesome book. And as we go through it on Sunday mornings, we're going to get very specific. We're going to look at specific topics. But before we do that, I want us to see some general principles about wisdom. And this morning, I simply want you to see this. Wisdom is available for you. Wisdom is accessible to you. And you don't need to be intimidated by this book. Wisdom is within reach. Wisdom is something that actually calls out to every one of us this morning, right where we sit, and says, here I am, I'm available, come get me and live. That's the theme you sort of see running throughout these first 9 chapters in Proverbs. I want you to just see a few places. We're not going to cover all 9 chapters this morning. But look at verse 20 of chapter 1. There it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Here, wisdom is personified as a woman who is speaking out in a city square. And I want you to notice, she's not being quiet. She's not whispering. She's crying out. She's shouting. Notice also that she's not tucked away, hidden in some secret chamber somewhere. She's not in a secret room. She is right out in the open, in public, prominent places, right in the city squares, right in the city gates, right in those busy concourses. In verse 22, she's crying out, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." So the picture is this woman in a city crying out to anyone and everyone. To the simple, to the scorners, to those who are even considered fools. She says, "Here I am, I'm available, come get me and live." In verse 24, she says, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes." When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. She's crying out with a warning. She says, "Come get me and live." If you don't get wisdom, if you don't apply it, if you don't walk by wisdom, then there's nothing but trouble coming. Calamity, terror, destruction, distress, anguish. Our hearts are saddened by what Hurricane Ike did to our state. You know, especially right there in that one island. What's the name of that island? I forget. It's Galveston. You know, it's funny. I was watching an interview with, they were all warned to get out of there. Well, they interviewed a couple that stayed there. And you could see the night had shooken them up. They were frazzled. They were, and the interviewer said, "Well, you heard the warning. Why didn't you go?" And they said, "Well, we didn't think so. Are you going to go next time?" "Oh, yeah." Wisdom keeps you safe. Verse 28, wisdom says, "Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." There's the cry of wisdom. Available to all. Look over at chapter 8 of Proverbs. Another picture. Verse 1, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way, where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of all the doors." Again, you see wisdom crying out at the highest places, at the busy intersections. "I'm here! I'm available." Verse 5, O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Verse 4, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Listen, verse 6, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. To the men, to the children, to the women, to the simple, to the foolish, to the scorners, to everybody, the invitation goes out. I'm here. I'm available. Listen, I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. Verse 7, my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. She says, you can trust every word I speak. There's no trickery. There's no ambiguity with me, she says. I speak in plain language. It's understandable. Verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Here it says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. I love this picture here. This is wisdom's pictured as a wealthy woman who has a palace. She has a mansion. And she's putting together this huge, blessed, bountiful banquet. Right there in her palace, right there in her mansion, she's killed the fatted calf. She's dressed up the table. She's made everything look festive, and all this abundance is there. And she says to anyone who will come in and eat, get your fill, get bread, get wisdom. These are beautiful pictures of wisdom. These are very encouraging. These point out wonderful things about this concept called wisdom. First of all, it shows very clearly that wisdom is not something that's secret or hidden. Wisdom is something that is out in the open. Completely out in the open. She calls out to everyone. She's not hiding anywhere. And you know, I love that about the wisdom that God has made available to us. Did you know that He doesn't want to keep that secret from you? In fact, He's put His wisdom right out there in the open. You know, there's so much supposed wisdom today that is secret. And you see this especially in different philosophies and religions. And you got to be really careful with all this secret information stuff. You know, one of the very first heresies that came around in the Christian church was a heresy called Gnosticism. Gnosticism was basically a belief that a person gets saved through gnosis. Gnosis meaning knowledge. Salvation through knowledge. The only way you can get saved is if you have a particular kind of knowledge. And according to Gnosticism, you had to go on a spiritual journey. You had to go through different hoops. You had to go up different steps. You had to climb this ladder until you finally got to the top where you got this special knowledge that nobody else knew. and you became enlightened, and it was all shrouded in mystery. There's lots of religions, I think, that are like that. And people get trapped by that. You know, for example, even within the Mormon belief, there's a lot of secret things that take place in Mormon temples. There's a lot of things that they won't let out in the open. It's secret. It's only for the true believers. Well, if it's true, why not just let it out of the bag? What are you hiding? In the late 1940s, pulp writer L. Ron Hubbard declared this, and I quote, "Writing for a penny, a word, is ridiculous. If a man really wants to make $1 million, the best way would be to start his own religion." And that's exactly what he did. He started a religion that is called Scientology. And it's hard to figure out what those folks believe. It's shrouded in mystery. The way I see it, it's some kind of weird psychotherapy thing that you pay lots of money to get, and you go from stage to stage to stage to stage, and you eventually end up at this secret knowledge. God's wisdom's open. It's available. It's accessible. And it's free. I would beware of anything that touts this. Oh, come to our conference and you'll get the most secret information. You get that in business even. Come to our conference and we'll teach you how to make $1 million, all the secrets. All these different little secrets. Just beware of it. You know what? Read the book of Proverbs and you'll get all the truth you need to know for free. So you see in Proverbs that wisdom is out in the open. It's not secret. You also see here very clearly that wisdom is not just for a few, but for all. It calls out to everybody. You know, there are some people today that think true wisdom is only possible for those who can afford to study in a prestigious university. Or true wisdom is only for those in some religious circles who can afford to go to a theological seminary. Or true wisdom is available only for those who are born into the right family, into wealth, or into the right culture. The educated formally. That's not the picture here. The picture here is that wisdom is available to every single person, young or old, male or female, rich or poor, educated or non-educated formally, of every racial background. It's in your reach. It cries out to everyone, "I'm here. Come get me and live." This picture of wisdom, I think, also shows us very clearly that truth is clear. Truth is understandable. It's not fuzzy or confusing. Again, look at chapter 8, verse 6 and following. Wisdom says, "Listen, I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. My mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are plain to him who understands." I think truth is simple. Truth is plain. God has made wisdom plain. Straightforward. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. Truth. I'll tell you, there's a lot of philosophies and religions that you can read, and you read some of their literature and you think, what's that? All these words and high words and all these arguments and everything high and lofty. Now, there might be a place for somebody to study things like that, but for most of us, we just want the plain old truth. Amen? You also see from these pictures of wisdom that true wisdom is based on absolutes. she's crying out in the streets and she's giving forth warnings. And she is saying, you've got to have me or else you're going to find trouble. She is saying clearly, there is a right way to live. There is a wrong way to live. There is absolute truth. There are laws in place. And you see, as you study throughout the book of Proverbs, you will find wisdom telling you there is a right way to do business. There's a wrong way to do business. There's a right way to parent. There's a wrong way to parent. There's a right way to live your life as far as who you choose to hang out with. There's a wrong way, and there's consequences for each. If you do things right by absolute truth, you will be blessed. If you don't, you will find trouble. Absolutes. Straightforward. This is how the world works. This is what you need to believe. This is what you need to put your faith in. Very straightforward, absolute truth. Now that is not what our society has become, by the way. Don't you understand that? We live in a society where, man, they're labeling it postmodernism. And everything is relativism. We live in a society where people don't believe in absolute truth or in authority. For many people, truth is a moving target. And for many people, truth is different for different people. You might say, I believe this way. And that person might say, well, that's a good belief. That's right for you, but that necessarily isn't right for me. Your truth isn't my truth. There's no absolute truth. Well, the Bible would disagree with that. There's absolute truth. There are absolute rights and wrongs. I love the story about a professor who was teaching his students about this, that, you know, different truths for different people, there aren't absolutes. And so one of the Christians, after the class, got up, went to his desk and started emptying out all his drawers on the floor. Just made a total mess of his desk. And the professor said, what are you doing? Cut that out. And the student said, why are you telling me to stop? You think it's wrong? And he said, of course it's wrong. Stop it. Your wrong isn't my wrong, dude. What might be right for you isn't necessarily right for me. Clearly showing him that it's absurd. There are rights and wrongs. There are values. There are absolute truth. And you see that all over the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs also speaks very clearly about what a person should believe. And absolute truth applies to beliefs as well, to faith structure. It's so important that you believe absolute truth concerning eternity. What God has done. Many years ago on the Dick Cavett Show, the Archbishop of Canterbury was speaking with actress Jane Fonda. The Archbishop said, Jesus is the Son of God, you know. And Fonda replied, maybe he is for you, but he's not for me. To which the Archbishop profoundly answered, well, either he is or he isn't. And that is the absolute truth. The Bible says there's one way to heaven. The Bible puts forth very clear absolute truths. So this is the picture of wisdom you get in the book of Proverbs. It's open. It's available to all. It's clear. It's understandable. And it's absolute. Based on absolute truth, you can have absolute confidence in it. Amen? And so, those of you who just said amen, there's no excuse for you not to become wise. It's right there. Wisdom is available for all of us. So, where do we find wisdom? It says wisdom's out in the open, crying out in the streets. Where does one find wisdom? Well, go back to chapter 2 of Proverbs. I want to show you a few sources this morning of wisdom. Actually, first look at chapter 1, verse 8. Solomon writes, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." By the way, not ball and chains, jewelry chains. Beautiful. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You will see Solomon throughout the book of Proverbs say, "My son, my son." 23 times in the whole book, book of Proverbs, Solomon says, "My son." 18 times in this first 9-chapter section of the book, Solomon says, "My son." And as you read the book of Proverbs, you see it that it's written as a father to a child. A parent, a mom or a dad to a child. It's Solomon as a dad dispensing wisdom to his children. And I just want you to see that's one of the most important lessons that you can get in a study through the book of Proverbs. Please understand, the source of wisdom, or one of the main sources of wisdom in this life, is supposed to come from parents to children. Wisdom comes from parents to children. Now, young person, I want to talk to you directly about that. Teenager, young adult, maybe college. You know, you may think you know everything there is to know about life. And you might even think that mom and dad, well, they're kind of out of touch. But let me tell you directly, they are a lot smarter than you. Amen, parents? They've lived longer than you. And you would do well to respect them, to listen to them, to obey them, to get wisdom from them. Parents, let me talk to you, and this is maybe some parents don't know this, but you have a God-given responsibility to make your children wise, to dispense wisdom into their lives. You look throughout the scriptures, and it says, mom and dad are intimately involved in the training up of children, all the way back to the law, Deuteronomy chapter 6. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That means intimate involvement, daily involvement. Talking to them about every issue in life. That's your responsibility to provide wisdom. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why I've challenged this congregation as we go through the Proverbs together. I know we have lots of young families with young children here. I want you to have an opportunity to actually take your young children through the book of Proverbs as we go through it. Sit down with them and talk about life. You're going to get to all of the details and information about life that your kids should know. In fact, I'm doing that with our kids at home. They're getting the same sermon I'm giving you. On Mondays, I take them through these very lessons and these very principle lessons. We have got to be involved. And you know what? I think parents in America have lost sight of that. And I think a lot of parents, even in the church, have lost sight of that. You know, kids just happen. And you just sort of, you know, let them grow up on their own and you don't have too much involvement with them. Give them the DVDs and the video games. Make sure they have access to lots of entertainment. Or let the school do it. Oh, don't rely on the school, my friend. Or let the church do it. No, we're supposed to do it. Be heavily involved. Wisdom, a source of wisdom, is to come from parent to children. Now, in that same vein, the book of Proverbs also says that much wisdom can be gained from the counsel of more experienced people. And you see throughout the book, proverb after proverb, where there is no counsel, the people fall. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. To find wisdom, folks, you have got to surround yourself with wise people. And you will see in the book of Proverbs, there are two groups that you can hang out with in life. The foolish crowd, who doesn't know God, doesn't obey God, doesn't walk with God, lives for themselves. Or there's the wise crowd. The group that does know God, that wants to obey God. And if you want to live a wise life, then you got to surround yourself with wise people. Wisdom for life can come from counselors. But folks, where does wisdom ultimately come through? God. Look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. True wisdom comes from God Himself. And please understand, as I mentioned earlier, God doesn't want to keep anything secret from you. God wants to give you wisdom. Now, the only way that you're going to get wisdom from God is if you have a relationship with God. And the Bible says that you can come into a relationship with God by which He does become your heavenly Father and you become His child. And then you have God as your heavenly Father giving you wisdom. Bountifully. For everything you can imagine. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now it says that the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. So He's spoken. Where are His words? In a written book. Isn't that cool? So, yeah. God wants you to be wise. Wisdom is with God. And God has put in all of His wisdom down, or not all of it, but most of it, all that we need for life and godliness, in an actual book. And I don't want you to lose sight of that. We take this book for granted, don't we? This is the very Word of God. This is wisdom for life. And throughout Proverbs, you will see a call to obey, learn, and know the Word of God. He who despises the Word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. He who heeds the Word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. But he who is careless of his ways will die. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. I mean, you talk about wisdom being accessible, open. Can you read? Right here. And it's in English. And it's in different versions of English here in America. And we have so much revelation before us. And why don't we as Americans read this book more? It's our manual on life. I want to take you one final place here this morning. Look at chapter 8 again of Proverbs. Another source of wisdom. You see wisdom personified in another way in chapter 8. Earlier it's personified as a woman who's calling out in the city. But look how it's personified in verse 22. Speaking of wisdom. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. This is wisdom talking. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his habited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Who's that speaking? A lot of people see that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, speaking. I love to find Jesus in the Old Testament. And you can find Jesus right here in the book of Proverbs. There's many New Testament scriptures that speak of Jesus, the Son of God, being there before creation. Involved in the act of creation. And it says to us in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, concerning Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is the sum total of all wisdom. If you want to know wisdom, then you come to Christ. You study his life. And you take what he offered you. Yes. Last week we learned that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Let me put it to you differently this way. Wisdom begins by becoming born again. By having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Scripture says that if you will give your heart to Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross for your sins, that he will forgive you of all your sins, that you will become born again, that you will become filled with the Holy Spirit, that you will become a child of God, then you can really become wise. Then you can really, really live. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes this morning. Father God, we want to thank you this morning for how much you love us and care for us. and how intimately involved you want to be in each one of our lives. We also know, Lord, that you want us to live this life to fullest potential. You want us to have safe lives, satisfying lives, good lives. And oh, the abundance of wealth, of wisdom, of knowledge that you have made available to us. I pray, Lord, that we would be those who would grab all the wisdom we can get. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who needs to give their life to you right now. You know, you may be out there and you sort of feel like you're drifting through life. That life is just sort of one big chance. You're not sure how to live. You're not sure what decisions to make. Perhaps you've even made some pretty bad decisions in your life. Please understand the simple message from Scripture this morning. You can be wise. Wisdom is for you. It starts with God. It starts by getting rightly related to Him. The Bible says that sin separates us from Him. He's perfect and holy. Sinners separate us. And so in order to get right with God, you have to have your sins forgiven. And God has made that possible by sending Christ, His only Son, who came and lived a perfect life and went to the cross to die for our sins. And He rose again that third day. And the Bible says if you will place your faith in Him, ask Him to be your Savior. Based on that, He will come into your life and He will forgive you of all your sins. And you become a son. You become a child. And you have total access to His wisdom. I want to give anybody an opportunity here this morning to make that decision. You've never asked Christ to come into your life by any chance. I'll ask you to do exactly what we saw many people do last week. Wisdom is calling for you. Christ is calling for you. If there's anybody here this morning who's never received Christ, you have an opportunity right now. Just raise up your hand high so I can see it. Anybody here this morning? I need to get right with God. I need to place my faith in Him. Then, church, let's stand. Let's sing one final song of worship to our wise, benevolent, awesome God. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Thank you.
God bless you guys. May you have a blessed week. See you guys next week.